And welcome to another episode of The Professor and the Princess. We're your co-hosts. This is Randy.
Hello.
Hello, hello. And I'm Henri. And we are here to have deep conversations and flip stereotypes on our heads, huh?
Yes.
Like to break it apart and dive into things that people don't like talking about. And we do this one conversation at a time.
Yes, we right? do.
We do. Randy, today we're going to be talking about resilience.
We are.
Right? And kind of, I don't know, the first thing that comes to my mind is, can resilience be unhealthy? But I think that we shouldn't go to the dark place first, maybe. We should talk about the value of resilience. Do you find yourself to be a resilient person, Randy?
I do.
Tell me more about it.
Well, first of all, I feel that resilience is a word that is used in multiple contexts, right? Mm. So people say, oh, you're so resilient. And I say, I'm just me, right? Mm. Meaning I've been through a lot of very difficult, hard things, but I made a choice to not let those things define me or how I view the world or how I show up. Mm-hmm. That's a choice. So I guess resiliency to me is also a little bit of a choice, right? Mm-hmm. You can either say, oh, everything sucks. My life is falling apart. I'm going to go get in my bed and I'm going to put my head under the pillow and just retreat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And my tactic has always been, all right, well, it sucks right now. We're going to move through it. We're going to move to the next thing and we're going to just get through it. And I always thought that's how everybody else showed up, but I found out it's not. So I think it's individual, right? Just like your resiliency is yours uniquely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you've been through things too, really hard,
right. No, if I've difficult never, things. Ever had to tap into resiliency. I don't even know what that, no, I'm just kidding.
You're lying.
Lying, exactly. Not even kidding. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you in the sense that, you know, just thinking about being a Black queer person.
You are?
A little bit.
I didn't know you were Black.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what this is. It's kind of brown. You're right. You're absolutely right. I love when the little kids say, no, I'm brown. Because I am. So it's this whole idea when it comes down to resiliency and that conversation. So the thing is, I learned about resiliency with my family. Uh-huh. I think my family is some of the most resilient folks ever. They've come back from some really challenging experiences. Uh-huh. But one thing that I question with the resiliency is, do they take it for granted? In the sense that, right? So they, because they know they'll like swing back from things, because they do the work, right? That they try to continue to have challenges in their lives that they actually bring into their lives in space.
Almost intentionally, not unintentionally.
Yeah. Now, that makes me a little crazy. I wonder, what are your thoughts on people taking advantage of resiliency?
Well, it can be like anything else. It can be addictive, right? Mm. Where you like think, all right, what's the next challenge I have to overcome?
Yeah.
But I also think that it's so, as my students would say, cringe, but what doesn't kill you makes you stronger really does mean something. Like I do find that the more that life has thrown at me, the better I've got at dealing with it because I'm used to it. Like the first time you have a traumatic experience, something that really throws you off your game, that to me, that's harder to bounce back from than subsequent ones because you know what you're dealing with. I do think to your point, it can be too much and it can be addictive because people think, well, I've overcome this, this, and that. What's next? As opposed to just trying to be even, you know?
Yeah. I'm having a reaction to it as I'm listening to you and thinking about just resiliency in general, because there was a time where I would have a negative reaction to people saying, you're so resilient. And maybe because it became like this, I don't know, like a cool thing. You know what I mean? Like it lost its value in many ways because people kind of just throw it around.
But you weren't offended by it. You were just more like, I don't need that badge kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know. Maybe there was this whole idea of, too, not wanting to feel like I was going, that life was such a big challenge.
Right.
Always.
Right.
Right. Are we resilient beings or are we having resilient moments?
Right.
Or is it built into our DNA or something? You know what I mean?
Right. And I also think that bleeds into culture. And in my case and in your case, we are from two cultures that have had to be very resilient in order to survive.
Right.
And so there's resiliency that comes from within oneself. And then there's what I call the cultural resilience of like, it's not a, and in the case of Jewish people, I don't think it's an arrogance. It's more of a, we're not going to leave because you don't like us. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you tried to get rid of us lots and lots of times, but we're still here. Mm-hmm. And tough shit. Oh, we're here.
But you cooking up something in me. No, keep going because I don't want to interrupt.
No, that's, and I think, you know, the Black culture in America has experienced a lot of the same, like, you know, feeling of like, you're trying to make me feel less than, but you're not gonna.
But see, that's what you're cooking up in me. Because what I'm thinking about is, from the cultural perspective, is this whole idea of, it's almost like, because Blacks were forced into slavery and where we are, like in America, with all the challenges that we have as Black folks, is that we should be okay with being treated a certain way because we're resilient. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm having a reaction to that just because of conversations I've had with folks about the fact you'll swing back from it. It's not it, but it's kind of not fair. Mm-hmm. So I have a different relationship with resilience.
Right.
Right now. And even being queer, like that piece too kind of stirs something up in me because it's just like, I didn't choose to be treated like crap to be resilient and have to fight through that.
Right.
So I don't know, just right now, when we prep for this episode, I wasn't thinking about resilience from this perspective, but as we're here in the moment, mm-hmm. it is showing up in a very negative way for me right now.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Oh. It shouldn't be. You're obviously you're entitled to feel how you feel.
Thank you.
But I look at it as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
That we will continue to overcome mm-hmm. whatever you throw at us, mm-hmm. you know, both individually and as our cultures.
Collective. Yeah.
And bring it. I mean, it's not, I'm not trying to be combative or mm-hmm. or goad someone into hating me because I don't have to try very hard.
Hello.
But it doesn't matter because I'm not going to be put down or put into a box by somebody else if I don't choose to be put there. And that to me is a piece of what resiliency is mm-hmm. being, having the free will and the intelligence and the self-confidence to know that I'm not going to let you put me into a box. I don't want to be in. You could say whatever you want, but I'm still going to be who I am and you're not going to have any effect on that.
Do you think the resiliency, is it ever exhausting?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I mean, that was a deep reaction, Randy. So tell me, how is it showing up for you? How is it showing up for you when you think about resiliency being exhausting?
Because sometimes you just want life to be easy. Mm. Sometimes you just want everything to kind of fall into place. And sometimes you don't want to have to be resilient. You don't want to have to face challenges. You just want to enjoy your life. Mm-hmm. And I think we all have periods of time when we do that. Mm-hmm. But it's the ones that are more challenging that make us stronger and they're more memorable, I think. Mm, mm-hmm. It's like, I always joke around my friends who live in LA. They live in LA and they get excited like children when it rains. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? The rain is awful. And they're like, but we never get to see it.
How about that?
So it's like they need to have a little rain in their lives to appreciate the sun again. Mm-mm. Right? And mm-hmm. I think that's how we all are. We need to have those struggles to make us appreciate the great, good things we have in our life. But we don't want so many struggles that the good seems too few and far between.
Right? Randy, you stepped on my toes a little bit there.
Why?
Because now, in a good way, because now I'm like, actually, the question that popped in my head just now was like, Henri, if you think about all the things you've been through, would you be okay if you weren't resilient? So no. A level of appreciation for resilience, right?
Yeah.
And having that, because do you feel like everyone has resilience within them?
No, I don't.
How does that even look?
I think that's where you find people, I'm trying not to be judgmental, but when you see people who are unable to function in society mm-hmm. because they've been broken by the things that have happened to them, mm-hmm. most homeless people or people who are unable to function in society, it's because they've had trauma. It's mm-hmm. not because they're dumb or they're lazy. It's because they've been hurt so badly and mm-hmm. they can't bounce back from it.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think everyone can bounce back and I don't think everyone's resilient. I don't.
Yeah. So you know, just that, and this is what conversations, the beauty of conversations is that And being authentic is that you can show up, or you should, in authenticity, in how you truly feel, but in having a conversation, you can look at things from a different perspective, because what everything that we've talking about right now, and what you mentioned there about resilience, it does take me back to this place of saying that if I didn't have it, you know, I would probably be in a different place now. And it is, it's a superpower in many ways.
Yeah. I agree.
What do you think drives our resiliency? Or what drives your resiliency? Let me just put the spotlight on you.
Yeah. You know, I've always faced challenges since I was a child. I had, you know, medical stuff that I had to deal with as a small child. Mm-hmm. And my dad was very of the mindset, like, we have to move through it, past it, and appreciate what we have, but also realize that this sucks, but there are people who have it worse than us out there, and you have to... I mean, his favorite thing to say to me was, we're too dumb to quit.
Wow.
We're just going to plow through it, and we're going to get through it. And no matter what it is, we will be okay. And I think it's so foundational in how I was raised, mm-hmm. by both my parents, for that matter, that I can't imagine being any other way. Mm-hmm. And I think most of us, you can probably trace it back to that. How you were brought up and how your parents showed up for you in that way and how they taught you how to navigate these kinds of things. Because without that guidance, of course you're going to be lost.
Right.
What about you? I mean, do you feel the same or do you have a different take on that?
You know, I lost the question that I asked you because I was so lost.
How does it show up for you? The resiliency.
Yeah, your answer was so good. I got lost in the details there.
Sorry.
No, don't you? Sorry, my foot. you know, I think that there is a part of me where resiliency is baked into my DNA.
Yeah,
and I just kind of function with the fact that this is the beauty of resilience for me is that it definitely tells me that I can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So my mom used to be that for me. She would just tell me, but my resilience says, like, no matter what challenges come your way, you can show up. And actually comes up more often than not, just a part of my self-empowerment.
Right.
And I like a good challenge, clearly. Yeah. But I think, too, in those cases, like, even though you or a person can like a good challenge, doesn't mean that they feel like they can get through them or right. they're willing to step up to the plate.
Right.
And I think that's how resilience shows up for me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, and I think a lot of it has to do with your general attitude in life. Like, you know, it's no secret that I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2018.
Right.
And couldn't have been more shocked. I don't know why. I just didn't think that could ever happen to me.
Mm.
I guess because no one in my family had ever had any kind of cancer. So I just figured we're not that family, right?
Right.
I was under the misapprehension that it was primarily genetic, which it isn't. But anyway, showing up to that and saying, like, this is not going to be something that takes me down.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling 1,000% committed to that idea. Mm-hmm. There was no wavering, and there couldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be, like, me against you, and I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really was a turning point for me in terms of, like, that's when I realized, like, I'm a badass. That was when I realized it. And I was already in my 50s at that point.
Brilliant. 50s? What are you talking about? Stop my lying early, to these people.
My 15s.
So. There it is. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you bring up a great point there. And, you know, cancer and illness and wellness and health is one specific way of or example of looking at resilience. I think, too, about, you know, getting through things. I think one of the most challenging experiences I've had is that I relied on my grandmother a lot. And when she died, I did feel like I wasn't going to make it. I was like, this is not going to. My mom had died some years prior. And because I was raised and coddled by them, you know, it was just a very important part of my life and lifestyle of having them as supporters in a safe space. And I have to say, I remember lying in the bed, you know, and waking up in the morning, like, this can't be life. Mm-hmm. This is like, how do I move forward? Right. And resilience showing up in that way. And for people who may not or may experience something similar, you can see how resilience shows up.
Yeah. And I also think for me, in talking about losses with family members,
mm-hmm.
and maybe this isn't a good thing, but when I lost both my parents at different times, I had to be resilient because I had to be there for my sister, one sister in particular, and my daughter. And if I let myself get crushed under the grief of that, they couldn't have gotten through. So I had to draw upon those reserves and say, all right, you can have your grief later. Right now, you got to deal with these two. And you have to make sure that they're okay. And that was my sole focus. So it forced me to be resilient because I didn't have the luxury of not.
Mm-hmm. And that's something too. To me, that sounds like this whole idea, like you said earlier, about making the choice to be resilient or leaning into the resilience in a different way because of your responsibility, right? And I think that's something that's important too when it comes down to thinking about what resilience means to folks. I mean, if there were any like takeaways for folks listening to this episode about resilience, right? Mm-hmm. What would you want people to take away?
I mean, it's so hard to answer that because it's so individual. Mm-hmm. And we all approach things based on where we're coming from.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, having faith, and it sounds very trite, but having faith in yourself and just knowing that, okay, right now this is horrible, but I know that there's a brighter day ahead for me, and I'm going to just, the way I look at it is, What do I have to do today? How do I get through today? And then knowing tomorrow might be a little better and so on. And again, it sounds very, you know, Pollyanna, and that's not how I am at all, as you know.
Exactly. You can be, but no.
But it really is a matter of, I say this about happiness too. You just have to make a choice to dig your heels in this instance and just grit your teeth and know that better things are going to come your way.
Yeah.
In time.
Yeah. I want to add to that, that resilience is not like the street path, mm-mm, right? It is, you know, this process of assessing kind of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process of understanding your capacity and what you're able to do
right
in that moment. And like you said, the one day at a time type of one step at a time moment. And so it's really like kind of thinking things through, thinking what that situation you're going through, what it is and what it means to you, and truly thinking about how you can kind of shift the experience, whatever that challenging experience is. That, right. I think that lives within the process of resilience.
And then allowing yourself to have the pain too.
Yes.
Like not that, because everyone, the new term I hear all over like podcasts now is toxic positivity.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. And I think there is something to that. You can't just smile and fake it either. Mm-hmm. You have to allow yourself to feel whatever it is you're feeling, like legitimately, authentically, but it doesn't have to crush you.
Yeah.
You know?
But why? Why should we fight through the pain? Why should we face it?
Because there is something better later. Like, I can talk about my parents now without being a puddle, whereas for years I couldn't.
Yeah.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can have those fond memories of all the good things you had without that, you know, stabbing pain of loss over time. But you have to do that work to get to that place. And it's worth it.
Yeah.
Because like the things we lose are always still there. Like your mother still resides in you because she's part of you.
Right.
And your grandmother and those we lose are still always with us in the sense of like they're part of who we are and how we show up. So I guess it's like looking forward and knowing that today is not so great, but in a few days, weeks, months, I'm going to be able to face this with a different set of eyes.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. And I mean, I don't mean to make this like I'm interviewing you about resilience.
Yes, I know.
This other thing, because you have so many really cool things to say. But it's this whole idea too. And I want you to talk about this too. So we talked about resilience in relation to getting over grief or through grief, right? Let's go back to the cancer piece, right?
Huh?
Post-cancer, what do you say about the resilience? Like what's the, I don't know, the value, the medal, the trophy, the learning? Mm-hmm. From employing resilience through cancer?
Well, first of all, to be fair, and it's important that I say this, I did have a very, this is not the right word, but a mild case of cancer. Okay. It wasn't super advanced, which obviously is a huge difference.
So it wasn't aggressive?
No.
Okay.
And it was caught very early. So my statistics were in my favor all along. It wasn't like, you know, I didn't know if I was going to make it. But what it's done for me, and this again is maybe not tied to resiliency so much, but to empathy, it's made me much more compassionate and understanding of how hard it is to hear something like that and how you process it and how each person processes it a bit differently. Mm-hmm. And it's caused me to want to help others who have gotten that diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you today, training to do that. So that's how it shows up for me, is how can I help someone else? Fabulous. Like, I could talk about myself all day and, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But how can I do something that's going to help another person who's in the same boat I was in 6 years ago move through that space now? And that's where the lesson for me comes from, is being able to share that and coach someone through it.
It's a brilliant aha moment, right? Is that resilience is beautiful in the sense that when we know that we've employed resilience and we come out successful on the other side, that we're actually able to support other people through their experiences and their resilience.
Much like you do with the people that you work with.
That I coach, right? Exactly. And I live in that space too, that whole idea of, I live more in the empowerment language, but resilience is definitely baked into that.
Right. And even when you go and speak to classes and when you meet with one-on-one with, you know, young students who are maybe struggling with something that they need to be resilient, and you're there to give them that boost that can allow them to have that hope. So it's all connected, you know?
That is a mic drop to me, Randy.
Well, it is time for us to end this episode anyway. So
so good.
It all worked out in the end.
Clearly, right? Hello, resilience.
Thank you for joining us. The Professor and the Princess is your favorite podcast now, is it not?
Own it.
Check out more episodes. We are at The Professor and the Princess. That's our hashtag. YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. If it exists, I think we're on it.
We're on it, every platform.
And you can also reach out to us directly at theprofessorandtheprincess@gmail.com. Let us know what you want us to talk about. We're very interested in what you think. And if you like us, and again, only if you like us, share, subscribe, like, etc. Give us a 5-star rating.
Because we know you like us.
Because we know you love us.
No. Oh my God. So good. Randy, thanks for this episode.
Thank you, and have a wonderful day. Au revoir.
Au revoir.